Good evening and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We have begun a new journey, Daybreak Terrorize Bible Study, which is a blessing. We have been talking for the last couple weeks about Jacob, and we are specifically in his prayer after, if you can podcast the first one, I think it was January 30th. Mm-hmm. If you can go back there, Tara does a great job with the background of who Jacob was and his story with Esau. And we are now in Genesis 32, verses 9 through 12.
Awesome. Okay, here we are. We've been encountering what it is to find our daybreak. I mean, I don't know. Everybody has their time of struggle. Everybody has Absolutely. Their time where they're afraid, where you feel like you can't deal with what you're dealing with. And Jacob's no different than us. Jacob has a brother that the last time he saw him, his brother says, I'm going to kill him. And he took off in flight, ended up in another country. He's been gone over 20 years, and he's heading back. And all of a sudden, he finds out his brother is en route towards him because he's heard he's coming back. And his brother has 400 beside him. And so, you know, he's thinking, man, not only him, but he's got them all out to come get me. And he ends up praying a prayer. Last week, we went through and we read the passage on the prayer. And we have been going through and looking at how there are certain things that Jacob's prayer has in them that we each need to have in our prayer life. And just real quick, I will encapsulate what he prays in Genesis 32, 9 through 12. Jacob first recognizes that God is the God of his heritage. He is the God of his father Abraham and Isaac, and it's a part of his lineage. It's his heritage. The second thing he does is he states God back to God, the commands that God gave. And then he reminds God of the promises that he was given. He then goes through and explains to God that he's unworthy. He recognizes that he has been a man who is a man of deceit.
Right.
He's known as commentators call him, the heel catcher, because he was born catching his brother's heel. And he then goes through, and as he confesses his unworthiness, he's confronted with his sin. Through the confronting of his sin, he recognizes the character of God, his faithfulness and his kindness. And he reminds God, you are faithful, you are kind. And then he states his praise for the blessings that God has given him. We're now at the point, so he's already said six things, and he hasn't even yet said what he needs. And it comes out very simply. He says to God, save me, save me. You know, have you ever prayed a prayer where all you could just get out was help?
Oh, yes.
Or save me. And there's an interesting play on words that we need to know, and that we'll look at this. It'll probably be next week before we actually get to the second part of where this word is used again. But this word save, it comes from Natsal. And I'm saying that wrong. But it means snatch away or snatch me, defend me, pluck me in presence. I mean, literally, it's to preserve, to save, to snatch. It's a quick rescue. And he says to God, save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid. He will come and attack me and also the mothers with their children. He shares his fears with God. I am afraid. Deliver me, I am afraid. And I know there are times in my life, and I know there's times of your life as you're listening, I don't even know what it is. What causes you to be afraid? Mm. What has caused you to have fear to where you've had to call out and say, save me, God? But that's essentially his request, save me. And then the minute he finishes that request, he recognizes what's happening in his belief system, okay? This is crucial, because any time we have a fear, and I don't know how many times we'll talk about this when we in any of our Bible studies, I know we've talked about this so many times, fears are based out of not having the truth
right
in us to where we truly understand the truth as it is. He is believing a lie. He's living a lie. He is afraid of his brother and taking his life. And he is afraid of what can happen to him physically. But God wants him to recognize that it's God that we need to have it rightly related with. And he began with, you know, God, you are the God of my heritage. You gave a command to my father and my grandfather, you promised us you will increase us. You will increase our nation to be like the sands in the sea. And yet, here I have one with 400 coming, and he's going to kill that which is the lineage of the ones that you promised would never, you know, that would increase like the sands in the sea. So he's bringing back the fullness of the promise that God has given. And then he begins to repeat that promise and proclaiming God's promise. And he says, but you have said, I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand in the sea, which cannot be counted. See, this is extremely important because he's recognizing what the lineage is that God has promised his family. He's asked Abraham, his grandfather, to leave, and he's promised him a land. He's commanded him to go and promised him a land and promised him a lineage. And he is holding on to that lineage as he is seeing his brother coming, because he knows that his children that are in the entourage with him are part of that promise and that fulfillment. And the amazing thing is, and we talked about this last week, because Jacob is now about to enter back into what is the promised land. Okay? The edge of the Jabbok River is where the promised land will begin. So that crossing over. But something has to happen in Jacob. And this is where we get into, he sees he has a struggle with his brother, but it's not just a face-to-face struggle from man to man. In order for him to get to the promised land, he has to deal with God on what his issues are. And he has had a lifetime of being the deceiver. And so it is time for him now not just to be dealing with man face-to-face. In order that he can face his Esau, he must first face his God and who he is. Because we cannot enter into the promised land with stuff from our past that we're holding on to. We have to get it right. And that's where we're going to begin, where we're going to look at. He has, at this point now, where he's prayed the prayer. And Scripture tells us then in 32:13 that he spends the night and he takes the gifts. He starts to send them out. And then he instructs Leah and the children to go forward. And then he instructs Rachel and the children to follow. And all of a sudden, he's doing all this to pacify Esau. He finds himself at night where everyone has crossed the Jabbok River except for him. And this is where he begins to have an encounter. And Sabrina, I want you to read for us this passage of Genesis 32, verses 22 through 32. And we're going to look at that actual struggle that takes place. And we'll spend the rest of this time and the last week discussing the wrestle that happens right here in this section.
Okay. During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female slaves, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and brought them across the stream along with all his possessions. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not defeat him, he struck Jacob's hip as they wrestled and dislocated his hip socket. Then he said to Jacob, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," he said. "It will be Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he answered, "Why do you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. Jacob then named the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, and I have been delivered. The sun shone on him as he passed by Peniel." Peniel?
You're fine.
"Limping on his hip. That is why to this day the Israelites don't eat the thigh muscle that is at the hip socket, because he struck Jacob's hip socket at the thigh muscle."
Okay, this is
that
so
was a lot of
it is a lot of hard words. Sorry, Sabrina.
Oh no, you're
you
fine.
You did an hip awesome socket job. getting it all out. Now here we have he's on the river. Now I want you to be thinking about this, because we had talked about that there were certain things that we each are going to have that we will encounter. And this is where it's going to really start to become clear. He's by himself. He's left alone. And all of a sudden, there's a man there. And Scripture doesn't tell us who this man is. At first, we have no clue. And it says that they wrestled. This is the Quest Study Bible says that this is a time of wrestling that goes on for hours. I mean, it's like at night, and it's like it goes on all night long. I mean, literally, the
right,
wrestling.
And it's very dark.
It is very dark, and this man will not let go of him. And Jacob, in his whole life, has been able to deceive his way out of everything. For the first time in his life, he is in a situation he is not able to get out of. He cannot get out of
this
wrestle, okay? And he's sitting there, and he's struggling and struggling and struggling. And the struggle goes all night long until daybreak. Mm. Now, my mind's thinking, you know, just visualizing two men, scrapping it out, you get weary.
I know, all night?
All night long. I mean, physically, it was a physical battle. And it says, then all of a sudden, the man saw that he could not overpower him. This is a pretty tenacious dude. Jacob is determined to do this battle. I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, Jacob is very much a determined man. You think of how long he worked 7 years for Rachel, right. But he got Leah. So he works another 7 years for Rachel. Yep. And then he ends up working more years to get his wealth.
He's patient.
He is very determined. And he could not overpower him. So the man that we don't know who it is yet, because Scripture hasn't told us, it'll tell us in a little bit, touches his socket in the hip, and it wrenches it. And as he's wrestling with him, and this is what makes Jacob not able to fight the battle anymore. It makes him release. And then the man says, let me go, for it is daybreak. Okay, this is crucial. This is really important for us to understand. There's a blessing that Jacob's like, I'm not going to let go. I will not let go until you bless me. And if you have struggled that long with someone, I mean, to have the audacity even to ask for the blessing, I mean, that's huge. But if you think about it, any time that I have ever been through a major struggle in a situation, and I have worked through it, and finally there's the daybreak happens in a release, there is a profound blessing that comes with the fact that I've made it through. And Jacob recognizes that. And the man asks him, what is your name? And he says, Jacob. Now, I want you to understand, him asking Jacob's name is not for Jacob. It's not for him, the man. It's for Jacob. Okay, I want you to think. Jacob's name represents deceiver. Jacob has wrestled all night, and he would not let go. And he says, I will not let go until you bless me. And he says, what is your name? Who are you? The name that was given to a person in the Hebrew nation represents your character. Jacob's been wrestling all night long, and he won't let go until he gets the blessing, but he cannot have the blessing as long as he remains Jacob. It's very symbolic, very symbolic. He cannot have the blessing as long as he remains deceiver. He has to have a radical change from who he was in his past so that he can become the man worthy of going across the Jabbok River into the Promised Land. A radical change, okay? And so he answers Jacob, and the man says, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. And the name Israel, it says right here, it says, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. The name Israel means to struggle with God. And he overcame. He overcame. Okay, this is an amazing thing. In his own strength and in his own self-will, he couldn't enter the Promised Land. But with his new name, and that he was able to get past it, and he was able to become Israel, which was the blessing of getting the new name, the new character, a person who overcomes with God. Because he finally was at the point where he allowed God to be the one to work and not him. And it's a profound thing, because when I think about this, and I when I wrote the Bible study, I asked the group to think through different things that could happen in our lives that we may have been through, that have been struggles that we've encountered. and how we've encountered these struggles and what happens in us to get us past it. And it's always that humble humility before God and saying, I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't do it anymore. And one of the questions I asked is like, if God were to name you today, okay, what do you think your new name would be? Because he did it for Sarah. She was Sarai. He did it for Abram. He became Abraham. And I thought, wow, wouldn't it be neat if we could know what the name is that God would give us? And what would you say that your name would be?
The first word that came to my mind when you said that was mercy.
Aww.
To change my name to Mercy, because he's given me so much mercy in my life. Mm. Like, his hand has been upon my life throughout so many things. And I think, like, wow, this really is what I deserve. This is really what should have happened.
Wow. That's awesome. I like that. That's cool. And then I'm also reminded of the fact that we have a new name when we get to heaven. It'll be written on the white stone.
That's Revelation.
Yeah, I love that God doesn't want us to remain who we were.
Right.
He wants us to be his people so that people can see. And it's extremely prevalent that we understand this and that he overcame. I mean, he all night long struggled with God. And I know somebody out there listening is in a major struggle right now. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know. Maybe you are having issues with a sibling, or you're struggling through issues with finances or a spouse or at work with a boss or a coworker, or maybe it's your children. You know, you're struggling with them pursuing things they should not. Maybe it's your own self that you're fighting in with your own self through addictions, or there's so many things that can put us in bondage. And what I want to ask you right now is, don't let go of God. And if you aren't holding on to God, you need to seek him first, because he promises, he who seeks me first will find me. I mean, literally, there is a blessing that comes. If we draw near to God, God will draw near to us. That is a command that is given, and it's a promise that we can hold on to. And taking his prayer and seeing how he took a command of God, saw the promise, and then believed on what God said and held it as truth. That's what we have to do in our lives with our struggles. So those of you that are out there struggling right now, I highly recommend, and I just encourage you, bow in prayer before him and say, God, help. Mm-hmm. Save me. Save me now from whatever it is I'm struggling with. I'm not going to let go of you, God, until the blessing comes. And I know it's you giving the blessing that I can overcome whatever it is that's holding me back from being who you want me to be. Now, we want you to come back and talk with us next week, because we have the last lesson left on Jacob. There's many truths to hold on to. God bless.